Good morning, Neighborhood Church. If you're new, we're glad you're here. My name is Lydia. I'm a senior at Axe Youth. On singing is Anna. She's a freshman in high school. Emmy Peebles is a junior. We have Nathan Warner helping us lead worship. Russell Comus in the back, he's a senior. And then Sarah Gregory, who's a sophomore on guitar. If you don't know what Axe Sunday is, it's a day once a year where the high school students at our church run the service from the ushering in sound to worship and communion. It gives high school students the opportunity to pour back into the church body as they are maturing into young adults. We really hope you enjoy the service and are inspired by the work that the youth have put into Axe Sunday. Bow your heads with me as I close in prayer, or open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ability to worship you freely and for this opportunity we have as high school students to build into our church body. We give you all the glory and pray that you will work in the lives of those here today. We pray that we would be an encouragement for our brothers and sisters in Christ as we lead the body in worship of you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to keep.
All right, yeah, so welcome to Axe Sunday. We're going to open with, a bit of a newer one for you guys. It's called All Glory Be Forever. We've been singing this song for the last few months in our Axe Youth group, so we're excited to share it with you guys.
Bye. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us all come and gather together and praise and worship you. Thank you for letting us work this out and get Acts Sunday going this year. And please bless our time together and give everyone courage as they speak their parts. And please bless the baptisms today. And please just help us each to take a part home from the lesson and apply it to our lives. And thank you for keeping us safe. And please continue to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. How are you guys doing today? Great, awesome. My name is Noah Haddon. I'm the youth pastor here at Neighborhood Church, if you do not know who I am. This morning's a really special morning, not only because it's Acts Sunday, and that's the morning once a year where our youth group gets to come in here and give the elders a little break and run the service and be able to serve you guys and serve God and serve the church in that way. And it's a really special morning that we get to do that. But also, it's a special morning because we've had two of our ACTS students who have made the decision to follow Christ with their lives and have also expressed the desire to want to be publicly baptized to proclaim that faith they have in Jesus. And so we did do one baptism during first service, and that went really great, and I'm really glad that some of you chose to stay for the second one, but we're going to do our second baptism in a few moments. But I just want to explain a little bit about baptism. Baptism is not a requirement to receive salvation or forgiveness from God, but Jesus does command us in Matthew 28 that believers should go out into the world, make disciples, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And because of the fact we're having baptisms today is proof that there are believers that have come before us over the last 2,000 years who have faithfully followed that command to go out into the world, share the gospel, and because of people doing that, it has come all the way now to today where we also have people now being baptized and proclaiming their faith. And so it's an amazing thing to have known that people have followed that command over the last 2,000 years. Baptism is a public declaration of one's commitment to follow Jesus with their life and the faith they have put in him for their salvation from their sins through faith and grace in God. So our church, by following those commands that Jesus gave us in the Bible, we do practice baptism after someone has put their faith in Jesus and made that decision to follow them with their lives. And so at this time, I would like to invite Candace Weems and Kaylee Warner up, and we will go forward with that. I forgot to plug in the baptistry. It's a little cold.
Good morning, church family. My name is Kaylee Warner, for those of you who do not know me. I have had the honor of having Candace in my small group this past school year, and it has been such a blessing to grow in our friendship and relationship. She is a blessing to me and a blessing to all of the other girls in our small group. And getting to watch her grow in her walk with Christ has been amazing, and I'm so thankful to be here today. But first, Candace is going to share her testimony with you.
Good morning, church. My name is Candace. I am 16 years old. I'm a sophomore at Anderson High School. I was saved in December of 2024 by a close friend of mine that attends this church. I am thankful to be able to be here today. I was led into the wrong group of people and wrong things in my life. I never let God help me or let him into my life. God had made me realize what I was doing was wrong. He himself opened my eyes to his gospel message, and I trust in him. I struggle to this day with certain things, but I know he will help me overcome these sins. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Since being saved, I have had more peace and calmness in my life. I am so thankful for salvation in Jesus. I now have turned away from my sins, and now my life is in Savior's hands as I worship him and follow him.
All right, Candace, so have you embraced Jesus Christ as your Savior, Lord, and greatest treasure?
Yes.
Are you trusting Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes.
By the help of the Holy Spirit, do you intend to follow Jesus Christ for a lifetime?
Yes.
Upon your profession of faith, I will baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good morning, hello, and welcome to Neighborhood Church. I'm so glad you came out this beautiful morning. My name is Lydia Inman, and I'm a sophomore in high school. I'm a newer face to Neighborhood Church, but I go to the youth group, and I watch some of your kiddos at the Tuesday Ladies Bible Study group. Something that I've noticed that's different about this church is it's more than Sunday. It's a community, and by being more than Sunday, we get together as a church and do things. Sometimes it's serving the community, and sometimes it's hanging out together here as a family. So if you'd like to bring that faith out into the community, you can get a More Than Sunday t-shirt anytime from the church office from our lovely secretary, Amber, for $20. Next, we have Neighborhood Church team playing softball. Is that right? Yeah. And they play Thursday evenings, so come cheer them on and join if you'd like to. It should be a fun time. There is a schedule for that in the back of the bulletin. Next on the agenda, we have a young adults missionary headed to Thailand. So they're going to serve the children of missionaries so the missionaries can attend a conference. For the whole team, they need about $7,000 to go. So if you're able to donate, they would be so appreciative. And you can scan the QR code on the screen or find it in the bulletin. Label your envelopes that it's for the Thailand team. We also have a men's breakfast happening this Saturday, or happening Saturday, May 17th. From 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Come have breakfast with them. It's going to be good. Spend time with your other neighborhood church brothers and bring a friend if you'd like. Our Summer Against the Flow program, which is our version of Vacation Bible School for the youth entering 5th grade through 8th grade, will be June 10th and 12th. You can now register for that. Go to the link. It's also in the bulletin. As well as our Vacation Bible School for the Youngers will be June 23rd to the 27th. That registration is not quite open yet, but it will be in a few weeks. If you're interested in volunteering for Vacation Bible School, you can contact Cassie Cable. And we need plenty of help to make this happen for our kids, so we'd be really grateful if you have the time to donate. Finally, if you're a Hope Alive sponsor, there's new letters from our kiddos out in the front, so be sure to check out that yellow box. Thank you.
Good morning again, Neighborhood Church. My name is Anna Lambach, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm a freshman at Shasta Charter Academy. I have the privilege of praying for our children as they head off to their classes. So if you're a kid in kindergarten through grade 5, can I have you come up here, please? Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all these children you have brought into this world, and I thank you that you have brought them here so they can learn more about you and what you've done for them. I pray for their teachers as they give the lesson this morning, and I thank you for their willingness to serve you. Give these kids attentive hearts so they can learn, and kind words in order to build others up. I pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys can head off, and parents, feel free to follow your kids and see where they're going, and meet the teachers if you would like to.
Sometimes the night was beautiful. Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so so much you've already done. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you.
Hi, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Hannah Murray. I am 16 years old and I am a homeschooled sophomore. I have had the privilege of being raised in a Christian home. Growing up, I had a sense of who God was and I knew to follow his rules. But it wasn't until recently that I realized truly walking with God is more than just following his rules. About a year ago, I was falling into my sin and I got to a point where I realized I needed to change. God was right there to lift me back up. I had been debating whether or not what I was doing was actually a sin or not. Then God put someone in my life who had struggled with the same things, and they came to the realization that it was a sin. God used this person to tell me that I needed to change my ways. He has also given me amazing friends and youth leaders that helped light a fire for the Lord inside of me. God has used some random things as signs to tell me when I needed to change or when I shouldn't be doing something. The sign wasn't always crystal clear, but other times it was. I can remember moments where I was conflicted about something and asked God to show me a sign. The next day, I saw an Instagram reel from a Christian influencer who was talking about what I had prayed about. There were even times where I was convinced that God told my youth pastor, Noah, all of my business because the teaching at night at youth group was centered around what I had prayed about. Through this, God showed me that he was listening and that he was truly there for me. He put it on my heart to give all my burdens to him. Like Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." At first it wasn't easy to let go of the feelings of stress and anxiety over wanting things to go my way, but it became easier the more I did. The first time I committed to handing over my anxiety to God was during an audition for my theater class. I sat in my chair at the audition and repeated in my head the phrases, "I give it up to you, God," and "Your will be done, not mine, God," about 1,000 times. It was that moment that I realized, wow, this really works. Over the past year, I have come to understand how much God loves me, and I have been able to see how he is working in my life, from taking my stress away to clearly answering my prayers. There were times when I prayed for something and he said no. I was angry that I didn't get what I prayed for, but when I look back on it, I can see that his plan was infinitely better. I strayed from God, but he called me back, and now my faith is stronger than ever because he showed me that I could lean on him.
Good morning, church. My name is Emmy, and I'm going to be singing I Surrender by Hillsong Worship. Surrendering all.
Good morning, church. My name is Laura Gregory, and I am a senior at Shasta Charter Academy. I would like to share my testimony with you all today. A few weeks ago, it was brought to my attention in a Sunday school lesson that I make assumptions about God. One of my small group leaders, Mrs. Bennett, was giving a lesson on Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which can be found in Luke 19, verses 28 through 44. In this passage, the Jews are eagerly awaiting and preparing for Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem. The Jews were anticipating Jesus coming as the long-awaited one who would conquer the Romans and set them free once and for all. They assumed that Jesus came to physically remove the Jews from under the Romans' rule. Just like the Jews seeing Jesus on a donkey, I am guilty of making assumptions about God in my own life. Growing up in the church, I've always assumed that I will be one of the kids who goes to college, gets married, and has kids. It's just what happens, but nowhere in the Bible does God promise this. Now, don't get me wrong, I deeply desire to get married and have kids. The Bible does say that's a healthy desire. It's just that I'm learning to try not to assume that is what God has in store for me, and to trust his timing. And that's hard, in case y'all didn't know. I have recently noticed this in the last few years of my life, in my own experiences, and watched others who have spent their lives going to church have drastic changes, future plans wiped out, expectations knocked down. It made me look at my own assumptions about God in my life to reevaluate where my heart and faith are. One of these times is when I broke the ball off my femur as a freshman in high school in a horse accident. I was flown to UC Davis and had a 10-hour-long surgery to repair my hip by placing a plate, two big bolts, and two small screws. God's healing of my bone was truly amazing, since the doctors had only given me a 60% chance of the blood supply growing back and the fracture healing properly. Also, it was the worst femoral neck fracture the surgeons at UC Davis had ever seen. If the blood flow hadn't have come back, I would have had to get an artificial hip joint. One of the worst parts of this accident for me was the thought of surgery. Surgery has always really scared me. I had to really rely on Jesus. Not being able to walk for 10 weeks was also kind of a big problem. During that trial, I really learned to rely on the Lord and trust him. I assumed that God would heal me and I would be able to walk again and be back to normal. I can't explain it other than my faith in God led me to believe that I would be healed. This was a good assumption because I was relying on and believing in God's healing power and sovereignty. Now that I look back on that time, I realize that it's kind of crazy that I never once doubted that God would heal me and the surgery would work. During this trying time, the church community really came around me and my family and lifted me up. My dad would read messages that people sent him to remind me that they were praying for me and asking if they could help in any way. It was amazing to see people I barely even knew supporting my family and I in any way they could. The Lord showed me through this encouragement from other believers how important fellowship is. We can see this in Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25, which says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So I want to encourage all of you, through sharing how God has worked in my life, to look at your own assumptions about God and see if they are rooted in faith or selfishness. I have learned not to look to Jesus to make my life perfect because he's promised that there will be trials, whether short, long, large, or momentary. We need to root our assumptions in the gospel and in the promises God revealed to us in his word. Thank you.
My name's Jaden. I'm a sophomore in Lighthouse Christian Academy, and I'm going to be reading the Word today. Could everyone stand? For no good tree bears bad fruit. Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasures of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. You may be seated.
Good morning, church family. Hasn't this been an awesome blessing and encouragement to see these students up here? So my name is Jeremy Winkleman, and I've been working in student ministries in this church for about 18 years, most of that with the high school kids. And sometimes it's really challenging, and sometimes days like today, it's super rewarding to see how God is working in these students' lives. And it's my privilege to go over our next passage in Luke. And this passage, as Jaden just read, talks a lot about fruit and trees. And so we're going to dig into what all that means. And you know, I really appreciated Nick's message last week. Then he got a harder topic, I think. He was talking about judging. And in our current culture, it's kind of a big thing. Nick did a great job at giving us some application for that. And this passage today has a lot of things that you could apply that judgment passage too, right? We're supposed to look at fruit, look at our own fruit, look at the fruit of others. And while we could spend a lot of time talking about evaluating fruit, evaluating others' fruit, today is going to be spent mostly looking at our own lives and focusing on what we need to do in order to be a good tree that bears good fruit. So pray with me before we get started. Father God, I thank you for bringing each one of us here today. Thank you for these ACTS students who have put in time and energy to prepare testimonies, prepare worship music. God, I thank you for them getting outside of their comfort zones and being willing to lead our church body. God, I ask for your words right now. As I bring your message, I pray that these will be words and truths that we can apply to our lives, that we can use every day as we reach the world around us. Thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. And in Jesus' name, amen. So today we have a passage that I'm sure a lot of you can relate to, right? Who here has picked fruit, any sort of fruit, right? A lot of us have picked some sort of fruit. I've never picked figs like this passage talks about, and I've picked some grapes, but one thing I know is middle of a hot summer day, biting into that fresh peach that you've picked off the tree that's still a little bit warm, that's pretty amazing, right? There's not much better than that. And this passage might seem a little bit straightforward right here, right? You're not going to get figs from a thorn bush. You're not going to get grapes from a bramble bush. If you have a good, healthy tree, you're going to get good fruit. And if your tree is not healthy, you will get bad fruit. I think when we think about trees in our garden or things like that, it makes sense. But what about when we apply it to our lives? What is good fruit in our life? What is bad fruit in your life? Hopefully by the end of today, we'll have a little bit better understanding of what that might mean. But since this is Acts Sunday, and we've had the youth kids up here, I wanted you guys to get a chance to feel a little bit more like what it might feel to be part of the Acts youth group. So we're going to play an interactive game that I'm going to need your guys' help to do. This game is called Yes, No, Maybe. And if you were ever part of the Acts youth group, you probably had a chance to be a part of it. Dan Eckley told me that this was first brought out by Don Howard many years ago when Don was on staff with Dan. Often what we use it as is an emergency teaching tool when whoever was supposed to teach Sunday school forgot that they were supposed to teach Sunday school. And 18 years ago, my first Sunday that I was supposed to teach Sunday school, my keys got locked in my truck and they had to do yes, no, maybe. So we use it to get the kids thinking and processing through sometimes deep questions. But what we're going to do today is I'm going to show you a picture and the caption, good. Is this a good thing? And yes, you can stand up right where you're at. No, stay seated. Or maybe raise a hand. Whether you're sitting or standing, just raise a hand. And I'm being easy with you guys because in youth group, what we would do is say, this side of the room is yes, the middle is maybe, and that side is no. So everybody would have to trade sides of the room and you're moving back and forth. One, they didn't give me enough time. Two, that's just going to be harder on you. So we're gonna go right into this and play some yes, no, maybe with some things that might be good or bad. And you can respond by standing, sitting, or raising a hand. So let's see this first one. Is this good? If it's good, we're going to stand up. So looks like a healthy apple tree with some good fruit. So if you think maybe not, raise a hand. Or if you want to stay seated, that's fine. So good. Let's just keep scrolling through these. We'll go nice and quick. Good. Maybe if you got some pigs to feed, right, then that could be debatable, but not necessarily a good fruit tree. It's May the 4th, so they call this Star Wars Day. We had to throw a little bit in there. Is this good, bad? There's a lot of hands up, right? So maybe there's some arguments to be made for this guy. All right, what about here? Is this one good? Yeah, more people standing, okay. We got some Star Wars people here. All right, we got giving $5 at church in the offering plate. Is this good? Is this a maybe? Okay. All right, it looks like a delicious tray of good fruit. We can agree. Yeah, that's probably good. Ugh. Not so good, right? This is the ones you bought, planning on eating healthy. They sat in the back of the fridge. Not so good. All right, this is out of Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Nobody's standing, right? We're not raising our hands. There's no maybe for this one. Okay, fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? Yeah, we can all agree those ones are good. So go ahead, have a seat. Thank you for playing our game. Hopefully that got the blood flowing and you can focus in a little bit more as we go. But this brings us to our first point, which is that our fruit reflects our heart. The fruit that our passage is talking about here is our words, our actions, and our attitudes. We are called to bear good fruit, good words, good actions, good attitudes. So what is this good fruit, and where does it come from? Good fruit is the words, actions, and attitudes that come from our heart when our heart is regenerated by and through Jesus. We then have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we'll begin to reflect the fruit of the Spirit that we saw in those verses in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are qualities that might, at first glance, seem like a lot of inward things that are inside of us, but our actions come from these. Our outward actions that are visible to others come from the fruits of the Spirit that are being developed inside of our heart. If our heart is in tune with God, with His plans, with His goals, with His purposes, and with His glory, then we will have good fruit that is visible in our lives. Proverbs 4:23 kind of sums this up for us, and I like the way the NIV paraphrases it. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from your heart. So good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, that comes from a heart that is focused on God. So what is the bad fruit? Where does the bad fruit come from? Bad is the opposite of good, right? So you got Darth Vader, you got Luke Skywalker, you've got Batman and Joker, you've got the good strawberries and the moldy strawberries. According to the Bible, we have fruits of the Spirit, which are the good fruits, and we also have the works of the flesh. Those are the bad fruit. Those are the verses in Galatians 5, right before the fruits of the Spirit, that talk about the works of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. These are all bad fruit that are produced when we are either unsaved and don't have a regenerated heart yet, or when we do not guard our heart, like that verse in Proverbs said to do. When we get distracted from God's plan, His desires for us, what He wants from our lives, we begin to have fruit that is not good. When we let our sin nature and the desires of our flesh influence our words, actions, and attitudes, we'll produce bad fruit. So both fruits come from our heart and tell us how our heart is doing. If we produce good fruit or bad fruit, it depends on the condition of your heart. So how do you think God feels about the fruit that we are producing? You know, I have a small peach tree in my backyard. It's been there for probably 7 years. And there's some good branches on that bear a lot of peaches. There's also a few branches that are in the process of dying. They don't look great. They don't have good leaves. They don't grow any peaches. Those of you who work with trees or with gardens or things like that, you know what I should do with those branches. What should I do with them? Cut them out, right? Prune them. Get them out of there. Why? It gives the tree a better chance of producing more fruit, right? It's not sending energy or nutrients towards those dead branches. We need to get rid of them. And that makes sense to us when we're thinking about a tree that we're trying to get fruit from. But what about when you flip it and apply it to your life? You know, if you're like me, sometimes I like to look at the good branches that I have and the good things that I'm doing and the good fruit, and I might not look at those branches. Same as my peach tree. I ignore those ones. I don't put in the time and energy to get rid of them. And I've got branches that aren't bearing fruit, and I've got branches that need to be pruned. What's God's perspective on that? Says Jesus said in John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll bear more fruit. It matters to God whether we are producing good fruit or not. The biggest reason it matters is because in our text, that Luke 6:45 verse where it says that our fruit, whether good or bad, it's an abundance of our heart that's bringing that about. It's an indication of our heart. And we had this one slide when we did the yes, no, maybe game, and pretty much most people said, yes, this is a good thing, right? We're going to give money. But we do have kind of an extreme example in the Bible of somebody giving, but their heart wasn't right. They hadn't guarded their heart. And I'm just going to summarize this story, but it's Acts 5, 1 through 11. It's Ananias and Sapphira, and this is what happened when they didn't guard their heart. They sold a property, and they were going to give the money from the property to the church. And they brought the money, and they had decided ahead of time when they were at home that they were going to give only part of it, but they were going to say that that's how much they sold their property for. So they were going to lie for some reason, whether it was pride or they wanted to look better than they were. They decided to be kind of sneaky. Peter figured it out, probably with the help of the Holy Spirit, and he said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? So the core root of the problem for them was their heart was in the wrong place, right? They wouldn't have cared if they only gave part of the money. It would have been okay, but their heart wasn't right. And both Ananias and Sapphira, when they were called out for their heart being off, they both dropped dead in their tracks. And obviously, this is an extreme example, and every time we do something wrong, God's not going to make us drop dead in our tracks. But I think it shows us how important it is to God that we guard our heart, that we take seriously the fact that he wants a healthy church. He wants healthy branches bearing fruit in the world. That brings us to our next point. Our heart reflects the Spirit. When our heart is in the right place and it's focused on God and his plans, our actions will show that the Holy Spirit is at work. So the first thing that has to happen is we must have salvation. We must be regenerated, we must be repentant, and we must be living through the Holy Spirit in order to be able to produce good biblical fruit. And there are plenty of people in the world who do good things, right, who care about others, but they are often doing it for reasons that are not God's glory. So maybe you're here today and we talk about this salvation and you have questions. What are we talking about? So we'll just do a quick summary. The book of Romans makes it very clear for us, right, that every person is a sinner. All have sinned. We all fall short of God's standard. And because of that sin, the penalty is death. It's separation from God. We have no way of becoming right before God on our own. But he sent Jesus. Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He sacrificed himself on the cross for our sins. And then 3 days later, he rose again, conquering death. Because of that, we can accept Jesus' payment for our sin, and we can be right before God. But what we have to do is admit that we're sinners. We have to understand that, and we have to know that Jesus is the only way that we can be right. As we give our life to God and we grow towards God, we will then begin to yield our fleshly desires. We will begin to pursue more of the fruits of the Spirit, and his work in our life will become more evident. So if that's a newer concept to you or you haven't heard it before, we'd love to talk to you more about it. Come find myself, come find Noah, the youth pastor, or any of the elders of our church. Would love to sit down and open the Bible and discuss these truths with you. But our salvation and regenerated heart reflect the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the fruit of the Spirit, we're able to have those words, attitudes, and actions that we see in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all the fruits of the Spirit. Once you give your life to God, you have that salvation, you know that you are in a right standing before God, this is when the work actually really begins. Because abiding produces fruit. It's not a quick, easy process to grow close or deep in our relationship with God. It's not easy to have these fruits of the Spirit. It takes work. It takes investment of your time and energy. And I don't think it was a coincidence that Jesus used a garden or used trees or pruning as his examples. If you have a tree in your orchard or you have a garden and you ignore it for very long, what happens? Weeds. The tree grows too much, you have all kinds of things that need to be pruned, right? You run into problems the longer you avoid it. The same thing is true of our spiritual life. We have to be working on it day in and day out. We have to be investing in the things that God says we need to do. Jesus says in John 15, 4 and 5, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So how do we do this? How do we abide? You know, these answers are what we sometimes refer to in the high school group as the Sunday school answer, right? Or the cliche answer. What do we need to do? You need to read your Bible, right? You need to pray. You need to study the Bible. You need to memorize it. You need to be in fellowship with others. And while these seem like easy enough answers and answers that most of us know, the application part, the actual abiding part, is where it gets hard. The more you choose to abide daily, the more your life and heart will reflect the Holy Spirit. But another thing we have to remember is that God's pruning produces fruit. God has a plan for each of us. He has fruit that he wants us to grow. He wants us to develop in our lives. And he said in John 15, 2, which we already alluded to, "Every branch in me that yields fruit, God will prune so that it can produce more fruit." When you think about the pruning process for a tree or a vine, it can be pretty brutal to the tree, right? You're cutting things out. It can be pretty drastic. And you might look at that tree and think, "I screwed this up," or "This doesn't look great." But you know that there's a plan. You know what the end result is that you want to see, right? The same is true with our lives. God is the master gardener, arborist of your life, right? He is the one who is looking at the branches and knows what needs to be cut out. He is going to put us through trials, hardships, lots of different things that are helping prune us and shape us into who he wants us to be. And this brings us to our last point. Our life reflects the fruit of our heart. The things that are happening in our heart are going to come out. Our actions, our words, and our attitudes. Those are going to come out because of what's happening in your heart, because of how you're choosing to abide, because of how you're responding to the pruning that's happening. So how do we make our life reflect our heart? How do we make sure that this is good? First way would be to try to live like Christ. Live out Christ's character. 1 John 2:6 says that whoever says he abides in him, Jesus, ought to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. So how did Jesus walk? We're going to look at just a couple quick things. We don't have time to read each of these verses, but Jesus walked with compassion. Jesus sought to do the Father's will. Jesus loved other people that people avoided. Jesus was humble, and Jesus prayed often. Each of these are things that if we work on abiding in and being more like Jesus, we're going to reflect the fruits that are going on in our heart. The next thing you have to do is actually bear the fruit. So we talked about what is good fruit, what would be bad fruit. We covered that it all comes from our heart and the condition of our heart. We know we need to abide. We know we're going to be pruned. We want to live like Jesus so that we can show the world the work of the Holy Spirit and the fruits that are in our heart. The last thing you need to do is do it. Go bear the fruit, right? Each of us here has different skills, right? Different abilities, different things that God's equipped us with being able to do. Find a way to use them, right? If you're not sure how you could use your skills or abilities in our church body, talk to the elders. Talk to people who lead different ministries and have them help you find a place to plug in. You know, when I think about our church and bearing fruit, I think about the many, many years that this Acts group has been going on. And we're going to visualize this fruit a little bit. I'm going to have different people stand up. If you are a current Acts youth student, stand up. Any of our current Acts youth students, stand up. Okay, stay standing as we go through this. If you ever were an Acts youth student, anybody who ever came to Acts youth, go ahead and stand up. Okay, if you are currently or ever were involved in the Acts youth staff in any way, go ahead and stand up. If you were ever a part of any of the missions trips we've done over the years to anywhere, if you went with the groups, if you helped, then stand up. If you loaned us your car, your house, a boat, or anything for an event that we had, right, and we ask for these things, then stand up, right? Currently, ACTS students are serving across the country in different places where they've relocated to and live. We have ACTS students who go around the world spreading the gospel and taking Jesus' love to people, right? So look around. This is fruit, and we had at least this many or more in first service as well of people who have been touched by our church and by the Acts youth. This is fruit that comes about from investing and abiding and being pruned. So go ahead, have a seat. Thank you so much for standing up and for your years of being part of the Acts youth group. What we each need to personally do is look at ourselves. Do you see fruit? Is that fruit good fruit, bad fruit? Is there some pruning that needs to happen in your life? Evaluate yourself. Are you investing in abiding with Jesus every day? Are you surrounding yourselves with others who want to bear fruit as well? Let's be intentional in our bearing of fruit. And the last thing that I'll leave you with, because it is May the 4th, is this quote that I got from Yoda. I don't have a good Yoda voice, so I'll just read it to you, but bear fruit, Christians, you must. In your hearts, the Holy Spirit's work show it will. Through your actions, his presence reveal, you must. At this time, we're going to be led in communion.
Good morning. My name is Jackson. I'm a junior at Shasta Charter Academy. And today, I have the joy of leading you all in communion. So my dad, or I guess most of you know him as Jeremy, was just talking about bearing good fruit. One of the passages he mentioned is John 15:4-5, which says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." This passage is talking about how without the vine, the branch cannot bear fruit. In the same way, if we do not abide in him, how are we going to bear good fruit? One of the ways Jeremy pointed out that we can abide in him is through fellowship. Communion is exactly that. We are one church body, taking communion together to remind ourselves of what Jesus did on the cross. 1 Corinthians 10:17 says, "For there is one bread, we who are many are one body, we share the one bread." When we partake in communion, we are uniting our church body together. We are one body, sharing together the sacrifice of Jesus. That is fellowship, that is abiding in Christ, and abiding in Christ produces good fruit. Communion is a wonderful way to remind ourselves of what Jesus sacrificed for us. It is a reminder that he died on the cross, taking the punishment for our sins, and rose again on the third day. It is a reminder that Jesus shed his body and blood so that we might be able to have a personal relationship with him and be forgiven of our sins. It is also a time of reflection. It is a time to recenter our hearts and mind on God and reflect on what he is doing in you. If you are a believer and are feeling stressed out or overwhelmed by the things of the world, I invite you to just take time and reflect on it. Recenter your hearts and mind on him I would also like to remind you that communion is for those who have already given themselves to God. If you have not yet put your faith in Jesus' sacrifice for your sins, I invite you to just take this time and observe and reflect on what he did. Or if you feel led to do so, you can make that decision right now to give your life to Christ. You can admit your sin and trust in Jesus for your salvation, and then you can join with your fellow believers in the room in communion. As the music plays, I invite you to go take your cups from one of the four corners of the room as we wait to partake together. I'd like to remind you all that when we partake in communion, we'll start with the bread and then take the juice. Luke 22 says, "And he, being Jesus, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat together. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Let's drink together." Would you please join me in prayer? Dear Lord, thank you for this day and this time that we can come, and thank you for your grace and mercy and forgiveness that you have shown us, even though we don't deserve it because of our rejections of you. We thank you that we have this opportunity to reflect on you, what you have done and continue to do. We pray that as we go out from today, you can show your love through us, that we are able to go out and show your truth to the world, that others might find you and your truth through the way we live our lives. We thank you for everything you have done for us and have given us. In your name we pray, amen.
Hello, I'm Elijah Anderson. I am a sophomore at West Valley, and I will be introducing our youth staff today. But first, can I have all the ACTS students please come up? We have Nathan Warner, Kaylee Warner, Sarah Bennett, Cole and Bethany Bredo, but they are not here today, Nicole Wildauer, Nikki Haddon, Noah Haddon, and Jeremy Winkleman. Now please join us in our closing song.
Close with all sufficient merit.
Well, thank you for joining Acts Sunday, everybody. There will be a prayer team on the left if you need prayer. Please bow your heads with me as I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us as we strive to surround ourselves with good influences that bring us nearer to you. We pray that we would plant deep roots into your words to draw strength, courage, and faith from. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, we are dismissed. Go and bear good fruit.